got an 18-year-old daughter, and hey, I don't live one way at home and live a different way here. Can I get an amen? You know what that is? That's a hypocrite. To live one way here and another way home, and one way here and another way at your workplace. You say, preacher, we didn't come to hear this, but thus saith the word of God, that if a man lives one way one place, one way another, he's a liar. Bible says if he says he had no sin, he's a liar, and the truth ain't in him. That's one thing I don't like, and you don't either. Nobody don't like a liar. Amen. My mama, she'd look at me and say, boy, you're lying right now, and I know it. Hey, two people knows when I'm lying. My mama and Jesus. Amen. She must have a direct line with him. Well, I'm glad to be here, ain't you? You keep that up. Don't you let nobody ever tell you there's something wrong with them tears. You keep them tears flowing. He'll answer that. He won't, baby, I'm going to talk to her for a minute. Y'all get some. He won't answer pridefulness. He won't answer boastfulness. He won't answer, well, I'm better than so. He won't answer that, baby. But I'll tell you what, the God we serve, when you get humble and you get at the feet of Jesus, he'll answer that. This other religion says the more you got, the better you are. God will bless you. Don't you get caught up in that. I told him in Sunday school this morning, what about if you lost all you had? What if you lost your job? What about if you lost your home? What about if you lost your car you rode in today? What if you lost everything you had? Would he still be Jesus in your life? Would he still be Jesus in your life? If you say, well, I serve him because of what I've got, well, you need to get him. Amen? Philippians chapter number 3, I'm going to preach a revival sermon. I usually don't preach at church, and last night I watched 48 hours, and that did not inspire me to preach this, but I was trying to get away from the Holy Ghost, that old nitpicker, you know what I mean? He wouldn't leave me alone. I said, I'm going to go preach something else. He just kept on, Brother Joel Scott, old nitpicker, right in my ear. Finally asked Brandon, you ain't go to bed? She said, let's go to bed. Got in Sunday school, and Brother Jerry Gabby, I could have gave him my notes, he'd have preached it out of his notes, amen? So if you got a copy of God's Word, I ask you to turn with me to Philippians chapter number 3. Going to begin reading in verse number 7 this morning. Resurrection power. To be resurrected from the dead and alive. Amen. If you're alive, give Jesus a shout this morning. Woo! You said you're going to wake these babies up. You ever heard them holler at home? Brother Bradley, can I get an amen? Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 7. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. That's something to shout about. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. Philippians chapter number 3. If you're lost this morning, I ask you to get saved if the Spirit draweth you. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse number 7. The Bible says, but what things were gained to me, what I gained in this life, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but the loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after that which I apprehended, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended but this one thing, I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Do you, some of you good this morning to forget the things that are behind you? Your past and your sin. There's three places that He put our sin. He put our sin on His back. You can read in the Bible. You can't see what's on your back. Can I get an amen? He doesn't see your sin once you ask forgiveness. He cast our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. And He cast our sin as far as the east is from the west. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are above. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence, it's good to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for your people that is assembled together to worship your name. Father, I pray this morning you guard my throat, you guard my thoughts. What I don't need to say, you remove it. What I do need to say, you say it. Lord God, I pray my boldness doesn't come from my arrogance, but it comes from the throne room of heaven. Father, I pray that whatever somebody's prayed for this week, when they left last Sunday, whatever they prayed for all week long, I pray you give it to them. Whatever they've prayed up and asked for, I pray you open the windows of heaven. Lord God, I pray you bless them with what they've asked you to give them. And Lord God, I pray right now that you move on this sermon in the next few moments. And when the time of invitation comes, Father, I pray that you do all the work. You do all the pulling. You do all the drawing. You do all the saving. Lord God, get me out of the way. That you do everything in this place this morning. That you increase and I decrease. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. As we come here, Paul's talking to the Philippians, and he says a very key something in the Bible this morning. And Paul declared the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We sure need that resurrection power today. Can I get an amen? You say, preacher, what will resurrection power do? If I had a list up here this morning and I told you all you had to do was come sign your name to the list for resurrection power, everybody in this place would come and they'd sign their name up. Friends, can I say to you, it's that simple this morning. Hey, when the Spirit of God draws a man, woman, boy, or girl, and they get under the spout where the glory runs out, and they get under Holy Ghost conviction, and they give their life to Jesus, at that moment they receive a resurrection power. Not who you used to be, but delivered from a devil's hell. Set free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. This morning I see, he says in verse number 10, that I may know Him. Hey, that I may be in love with Jesus, that I may know Him. I told a man this week, hey, you can know all the Scripture and not know the Savior. You can quote the Bible from front to back and not have a relationship with the Savior. You can preach in a local body church and not know the Savior. Hey, you can be a youth minister and not know the Savior. You can be a deacon and not know the Savior. Hey, you can be a church member and not know the Savior. You say, preacher, what happens? Hey, when I meet Jesus and I know the Savior, number one, I say to you, it is soul-saving power. Can I get an amen? It's soul-saving power. You say, preacher, what kind of power is that? It's dynamite when it comes in your life. It'll set things on a different course. It is soul-saving power this morning. You say, but you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. I want to give you three people that had been down life's highway, and oh God, He reached down and He touched them old boys. Hey, I say to you, number one, if you wanted to look into Luke chapter number 23, when Jesus was dying on the cross, there were two men hanging beside Him. There was two thieves, one on the right side and one on the left side. And one railed on Him, but one believed on Him. Friends, I want you to know, I've never seen anybody that close to death. Hey, he done had the nails in his hands. He was done hung up. Nothing he could do. And that soul-saving power, it is enough to save a thief. He came down and saved his soul there that day on that cross. No longer did he have to spend eternity in hell, but he'd have eternity in heaven. I see not only is it power enough to save a thief, but I say to you this morning, it's power enough to save a murderer. In Acts chapter number 9, you know Apostle Paul, the same one that wrote Philippians, he was on that road to Damascus, and as he got walking, he was killing Christians and persecuting them, and he was doing all kind of things. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, and suddenly a light shined down from heaven. I want to ask you this morning, have you ever had that light, hey, shine down on your life? You say, preacher, I thought I was too far gone. I thought I'd done stepped over the finish line. I thought you could write me off. And then the Savior stepped in. He can save a thief this morning. And on the road to Damascus, he saved old Paul. He reached down from heaven, and Paul was never the same. I say to you this morning, if he has enough power to save a thief, and he has enough power to save a murderer, he can save anybody in here this morning. You say, preacher, I'm too far gone. on. They're still air in your lungs. You ain't too far gone. You ain't crossed the finish line yet. Hey, Jesus is still on the throne. Can I get amen? Oh, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You said, preacher, what does that do in my life? When you receive that resurrection power and it comes alive in your life, it'll do something. It'll just do something in a man's life when he repents and calls on the name of Jesus. I see, number one, it's soul saving power. Have you ever been saved? But I'm going to give you another thing I see this morning. When I preach this, I just get excited. Whoa, glory, amen. Man, you ought to get excited about Jesus. He said, it's soul-saving power, I see, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Everybody wants to sign up with the power of His resurrection. Amen? But listen to something else He says, and the fellowship of His suffering. If I told you this morning that when you get saved, you also got to sign up for suffering, would you still sign up? If you're saved this morning, you're going to suffer some. You're going to suffer a little bit. There's going to be suffering in your life. I see, number one, it is soul-saving power. But I see, number two, it is life-changing power. Not only is it soul-saving power, but it's life-changing. Anybody that wants to be saved and not change, you will not be saved. Anybody that wants to be saved and still live like hell, you're not going to be saved. He didn't save you to get you out of hell. He saved you to get hell out of you. Can I get an amen? That's why He saved me, and that's why He saved you. He wanted to change me. He had this soul-saving power. Man, I was a wreck. I was no good. I was a sorry husband, a sorry daddy. But when the blood of Jesus at that moment touched my life, there was a change come forth. Woo! Brother Joy, you said, preach it this morning, brother. He said it was soul-saving, but it was life-changing. Man, you're talking about a life change. It was soul-saving that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that I may know Him. Man, I'm telling you, there's one thing to know about Jesus, and it's something else to know Jesus. You see, it's something else to know about Him. You can know the death, burial, resurrection. You can believe He died on the third day and rose again. You can believe everything you want to believe, but if you don't know Him, you don't know Him. And to know Jesus, not only is it soul saving, but it's life changing. It'll change your life. Do you remember in the book of Mark, the woman with the issue of blood? When she come to Jesus, she imagined, if I could just touch the hem of His garment, if I could just get down to the hem of His garment. I'm talking to somebody this morning, and you know, if you could just get to where Jesus is, it would change your life. He said it was life-changing power. That woman had an issue of blood. Hey, she had had a child, and she hadn't quit bleeding since that child was born. And you know what they did? It was just like a leper. They would send them out. She couldn't come back in. She couldn't get around the family. She couldn't get around her friends. She was an outcast. She was no good. Nobody wanted nothing to do with her. Nobody wanted to be seen with her. But I want you to know this morning, there's a man named Jesus. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. He wants to be seen with you. Amen? Woo! He wants to be seen with you. I'll never forget, I had a buddy get out of jail, and he said, listen, if you don't want to run with me because they know what I've done, he said, you ain't got to hang out with me. I said, I ain't worried about what they think. I ain't worried about what they think. You've gave your life to Jesus. You change it. There's a change in your life. And we're going to run together. Can I get a witness? Listen, this morning I see that it was not only the woman with the issue of blood. She got to that place in her life. That's life-changing power. This morning, if you're caught up in something, there's enough power in His resurrection to save you and to change you and to heal you and to cleanse you and to make you new this morning. You said, preacher, I don't believe that. I see it's life-changing. It changed the woman with the issue of blood. It had power enough to change a backsliding sinner. Backsliding old Peter, he had done backslid. You remember what old Peter did? He said, I won't deny you. What'd he do? He denied Jesus. He denied Him. He said, preacher, I'm a failure. It won't do me no good. Yes, it will. You keep on keeping on. There's power enough this morning to change a woman with the issue of blood. There's power enough to change a backslidden disciple this morning. He said, preacher, I'm not where I need to be. Yes, you are. You're right where you need to be. Amen. You're right where you need to be. You're in the right place. I'm going to clean up and then come. No, don't do that. Just come. Amen. Just come. I don't know enough. You're at the right place if you don't know enough. This week I went with Brother Mike fishing. He said, don't you tell no lie on fishtails. I said, what makes you think I tell a lie on fishtails? We was in the boat, Brother Kevin, we was fishing. And Brother Mike, he's just as tender hearted as he, but he's giving me that look right now. And he don't even know this, but this is how God spoke to me in the boat. Brother Mike got in there, and I said, Brother Mike, how are we doing? You know, how are we doing? We're doing good? And he said, well, preacher, you know, when you got somebody that don't know nothing, he said, you're the oldest kid I've ever took fishing. Woo! He said, when you got somebody that don't know nothing, you can teach them something. I remember when I got saved and the preacher said, turn to the book of John. All I had was the Bible. I didn't know I had John. I went to him at the church. You say, preacher, come on, there's some of you. You don't know the Bible. And you need somebody to teach you that it would change your life. That Jesus would save you. And he would change you by that word. And that preacher said, I need to work with you and teach you what a chapter and a verse. You think everybody comes in and knows where the book of John is? No. And Brother Mike said, listen, preacher. He said, when you don't know nothing, you can teach them. But then the next word, and he said, but you don't know a whole lot. He said, but you can't teach a know-it-all nothing. He said, I'd rather have you in my boat that don't know nothing because I can teach you than to have a know-it-all in here that I can't teach nothing. Can I say to you this morning, you said, preacher, I've messed up all my life. You're right where you need to be. Preacher, I don't know nothing about Jesus. You're right where you need to be. And Jesus will teach you something. You've been living a way that's not pleasing to God. Get in this altar and get it right. Don't you walk out the same way you walk in. Let that power of God change your life. Brother Mike sitting up there, he was navigating the boat. You're not supposed to throw up past him. You're supposed to throw behind him. He's leading into the fish, getting the big fish. I got hung up about, I don't know, I won't lie about it, 9 times. That's on the bottom end. And that last time I got hung up, I said, oh my goodness. You're talking about life changing. God spoke to me on that man. God used that man to speak to my life. I said, Brother Mike, I done told him so many times that, man, he's got the patience of Job in that boat. Get him out of the boat, and he's a firecracker. Put him in that boat, something he loves doing, he's easy going. I said, Brother Mike, I'm hung up again. Do you mind getting me out? And he said, no, I'll come back there. I said, Brother Mike, what do you think, Brother Mike? He said, a bad day fishing. I thought, we're having a bad day. He said, I'm just taking it honest. You don't get this before we leave today if we got to stay 2 o'clock. So you better open your ears. It's her smoke to my life. And I said, he said, a bad day fishing. I thought, well, we're having a bad day. It's better than any good day at work. I said, that's pretty good. And he said, are you mad at me? He said, no, I'm just going to get you unhung. And when he said, I'm not mad at you, I'm just going to get you unhung, Jesus spoke to my heart in that boat, and he said, every time you get hung up in life, I'm never mad at you. I'm never upset with you. I don't care if it's 20, I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset with you because you're hung up, and I got to come over there and get you out of the mess that you put yourself in. I'm not mad at you. I'm not upset at you. You can't do enough to make me mad because I sent my son to the cross. He has soul-saving power. He has life-changing power. He has enough power. I see with a woman with an issue of blood to stop it. And he's got enough life-changing power in here today to change anything in your life. You see, when you get saved, you don't keep doing the same. The story's told by Brother Bob Pittman that a little old boy was learning how to sleep in his bed, talking about changing life. It's time to get out of mom and daddy's bed. Time to get in his own. And he went in there the first 3 or 4 nights. Little Taylor, listen to this now. You still sleep with mom and daddy? No? Okay. You look like you was old enough to be out of the bed. I was just making sure. I'm fixing fine when I still sleep with mom and daddy. Now, Brother Garrett don't. He don't play jokes now. He don't play. He said, why are you going with this? I'm going to tell you this. You know why your life ain't changed? You've been saved, but you're still living in that same old rut, same old sin, same old mess. Said that little boy, he slept in there 3 or 4 nights, and he fell off the bed. And he was screaming, and the mama ran out and said, what's wrong? What's wrong, baby? What's wrong? So I fell off the bed. He said, well, she said, why'd you fall off the bed? He said, I slept too close to where I got in. Some of you keep falling off because you're still too close to where you got in. You keep falling, you keep failing, you keep doing all this because you're still right there where you got in. You've not grown none. You've not let it change your life. You let it save your soul, but you've not allowed it to change your life. You keep laying right on the edge of everything, right on the edge of everything. I can play with this. I can dabble with it. I can do this. I can do that. You cannot sin cost us. It's going to cost everybody in this room. It cost Jesus on the cross, and we will not escape what sin cost us. And if you lay too close to where you got in, you're not going to get over the sin that's in your life. He said this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the sufferings. His sufferings, it'll change you. It'll change you in a minute. In a twinkling of an eye, it'll change you if you will allow it. I want to know this morning, by the move of the Holy Spirit, who in here this morning would just say in their soul, no hands, that I've been saved, but they ain't been much of a change. I know people. I talk to people that says, I've been saved, but they ain't been much of a change. Did you know you can be saved and they not be much of a change because you're still wanting to live both lives? You're still wanting to live both lives, both sides of the fence? You can't do that. When you find out one thing, you'll do something else with it. You'll just always try to straddle that fence. It's soul-saving power. It's life-changing power. But let me give you the last thing. It's death-conquering power. It's death-conquering power. You say, what good is Jesus? Let me give you how good Jesus is. Everybody in this room is going to feel that cold hand of death on their shoulder one day. You're going to feel that chilly hand on your shoulder one day. To the youngest one in the room that thinks you're going to escape death, you're going to get old one day. And you're going to feel that chilly hand of death come up on your shoulder. And it's going to rock your world when you get there. And the only thing that's going to see you through is the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's soul saving. It saved my soul. Thank God it saved my soul. Thank God that it changed my life. Thank God. And I thank God that when I die, that power is right there. He's not leaving me where He found me. He's carrying me home. You said, preacher, how do you know that? Look with me in verse, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Look with me. And the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, that's that life-changing power. It'll change you. Since you've been saved, there's been a change in your life. There's a few. There's a few. Boy, changed. You wouldn't let me be the pastor of this church if I was saved but living the way I used to. You wouldn't. This place would be dog empty. If He saved your soul, He's wanting to change your life to be a testimony. And He wants to give you enough power to make it through. Look what He says in verse 10. Being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain until the resurrection of the dead. So how do you know it gives you death-conquering power, Pastor? Number one, I see that in Acts chapter number 7. Stephen made it home. When they stoned Stephen for preaching the gospel, you know what Stephen did? He said he looked up into heaven. He seen Jesus. Set it at the right hand of the Father. He looked up and said, you know what? I believe one day when my wife is by my bedside, whatever comes my way and I look up and I look up into heaven, I believe that I'll see my Jesus on the right hand of the Father. He said, preacher, do you believe that much? I'm betting my life on it. I'm betting eternity on it. I'm not trying to tell you nothing. I'm not betting. I'm betting everything I got on Jesus. He's the winning team. Elijah made it home by the power of God. When he got took out in the world, he made it home. You and I will only make it home by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You and I will only make it home by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Read with me, and we're going to close. Read with me. Soul saving. If you lost in here this morning, He can save your soul. If you're living a life that you're tired of living, He can change your life. He can change it. These testimonies all in this building change your life. I'm not talking about turning over a new leaf, because leaves are going to fall. You let fall come, you let springtime come, new leaves are going to come, you're going to have to keep turning leaves. It ain't going to work. You ain't got death-conquering power. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are above, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to give you what the Strong Concordance on this. It's done me good, it'll do you good. He said, preacher, what is the big deal about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ? I'm marching on for a prize. Amen. Amen. Everybody likes a prize. How you get your kids to do what you want them to do? Then give them a prize. Give them a prize. And I thought that prize, Brother Hagin, I thought that prize was going to be, you know, maybe a crown in heaven. I thought that prize was going to be something, you know, that. And then, as I got studying, that ain't what that prize is. Then I thought, well, maybe it's going to be my mansion in heaven, living a double wide here, but I get me a mansion up there, amen? I thought, well, maybe it's going to be my mansion. And I thought I was going to get something. And no. I pressed toward that mark for the prize. You know what that word prize means? I pressed toward the umpire. You know what that means? Umpire. I press toward the Savior. I'm pressing toward my umpire that's in the sky. I'm pressing toward God. I'm doing what I do because there's somebody in the sky that's going to judge me one day. He is the umpire. He is the one that I'm pressing toward. I'm not pressing to please John Stidham. I'm not pressing to please my wife. I'm pressing to please the umpire that's in the sky. He said, what are you going to do when you get there? When you get there with the umpire? I'm not looking for him to call me safe out or in between. What are you looking for the umpire to say? Well done. How you want your steak? You eat it medium, eat it rare, eat it like you want to. But you listen to me, when you get to heaven, you'll want it one way. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. This morning, I want to ask you a question. Man, when I read that, there's somebody watching me. And Paul said, I'm pressing toward the mark. You shouldn't be able to get your feelings hurt enough in here to leave the church. You shouldn't get your feet stepped on enough to leave the church. You ought to say, I'm not here for that preacher. I'm not here for them deacons. And I'm not here for nobody else. You understood that, right? I'm here for Jesus. He's my umpire. He's the one that calls me saved. He's the one that calls me out. He's the one that calls me out when I need to be called out. And He's the one that lets me go safe when I need to go safe. This morning, if you've never understood the resurrection power, Brother Brad sitting back there. Brother Brad, raise your hand. You know the resurrection power? What about life changing? What about death conquering? You think when you die, He's going to conquer death for you? Betting everything. Brother Jerry Gabby. Do you know soul-saving power? Has He changed your life? Changed you. When you die, is He going to conquer you over death? You already won it. When I hugged up to Miss Wanda Saxton the other day, Brother Wayne just took his last breath laying there in the bed. He's laying there in the bed, just took his last breath at the bed with the family. I ain't sharing nothing. I ain't shared at the funeral. I just reached around her, put my arm around her. Pat her on the back. I said, the battle's over and the victory's been won. 10,000 years and we've just begun. This morning, if you don't know what it is to be saved, be saved. If you're still living the way you was when you got saved, let God change your life, because there's going to come a day that you're going to die and you're going to want Him to conquer death for you. Amen? Father, I love You and I thank You for this morning. Oh, God, I thank You for the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, I thank You for every man that is sitting on this pew, every woman, every child. You know their heart, and I don't. But I know this morning that if there's somebody needs to be saved, that You'll put the drawing. And there's men and women in this place praying the same prayer I'm praying, pleading the blood of Jesus that You'd draw them to salvation. There's men and women around this room that is praying right now that You would change some people's life the way You changed theirs. And Lord, I pray right now that when that day comes in our life, we don't have to fear, because that power of the resurrection will conquer death in our life. I ask you to move this morning in the precious holy name of Jesus. And we all do pray. Amen.